This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. On April 9th, 2017, United Airlines Flight 3411 was about to fly from Chicago to Louisville when flight attendants discovered the plane was overbooked. They tried to get volunteers to give up their seats with promises of travel vouchers and hotel accommodations, but not enough people were willing to get off.
Can't the pilots drive to Louisville? Can't they rent a car for the pilots?
United ended up calling some airport security officers. They boarded the plane and forcibly removed a passenger named Dr. David Dow. The officers ripped Dow out of his seat and carried him down the aisle of the airplane, nose bleeding, while horrified onlookers shot video with their phones.
There
you go. No, this is
busted
wrong!
His
oh my God! Look at what you did to him! Oh my God!
You probably remember this incident and the outrage it generated.
The international uproar continued over the forced removal of a passenger from a United Airlines flight. Today, the airline's CEO, Oscar Munoz, issued an apology saying, quote, "No one should ever be mistreated this way. I want you to know that we take full responsibility and we will work."
But why Dr. Dow? How did he end up being the unlucky passenger that United decided to remove? Immediately following the incident, some people thought racial discrimination may have played a part, and it's possible that this played a role in how he was treated. But the answer to how he was chosen was actually an algorithm, a computer program. It crunched through a bunch of data, looking at stuff like how much each passenger had paid for their ticket, what time they checked in, how often they flew on United, and whether they were part of a rewards program. The algorithm likely determined that Dr. Dow was one of the least valuable customers on the flight at the time. Algorithms shape our world in profound and mostly invisible ways. They predict if we'll be valuable customers or whether we're likely to repay a loan. They filter what we see on social media, sort through resumes, and evaluate job performance. They inform prison sentences and monitor our health. Most of these algorithms have been created with good intentions. The goal is to replace subjective judgments with objective measurements. But it doesn't always work out like that. I think algorithm design may be the big design problem of the 21st century, and that's why I wanted to interview Kathy O'Neill. Okay, well, thank you so much. So can we start? Can you give me one of them sort of NPR-style introductions and just say your name and what you do?
Sure. I'm Kathy O'Neill. I'm a mathematician, data scientist, activist, and author. I wrote the book Weapons of Math Destruction: How Big Data Increases Inequality and Threatens Democracy.
So we'll start with the most obvious question. What is an algorithm? At its most basic, an algorithm is a step-by-step guide to solving a problem. It's a set of instructions, like a recipe. O'Neill's main point is that algorithms aren't really objective, even when they're carried out by computers. This is relevant because the companies that build them like to market them as objective, claiming they remove human error and fallibility from complex decision-making. But every algorithm reflects the priorities and judgments of its human designer, and algorithms are basically black boxes. In many cases, they're designed by private companies who sell them to other companies, and the exact details of how they work are kept secret. Right now, it seems like, because of algorithms and math, it's just a new place to place blame.
I would go one step further than that. I feel like, just by observation, that these algorithms, they don't show up randomly. They show up when there's a really difficult conversation that people want to avoid.
Oh,
they're like, oh, we don't know what prison is really for. You know, let's have a way of deciding how long to sentence somebody. We introduce these silver bullet mathematical algorithms because we don't want to have a conversation.
In O'Neill's book, she writes about this young guy named Kyle Beam, who takes some time off college to get treated for bipolar disorder. Once he's better and ready to go back to school, he applies for a part-time job at Kroger, which is a big grocery store chain. Kyle was such a good student that he figured the application would be just a formality, but he didn't get called back for an interview. His application was red-lighted by the personality test he'd taken when he applied for the job. The test was part of an employee selection algorithm developed by a private workforce company called Kronos.
70% of job applicants in this country take personality tests before they get an interview. So this is a very common practice. Kyle had that screening, and he found out, because his friend worked at Kroger's, that he had failed the test. So most people never find that out. They just don't hear back. And the other thing that was unusual about Kyle is that his dad is a lawyer. So his dad was like, what were the questions like on this test? And he said, well, some of them were a lot like the questions I got at the hospital, the mental health assessment.
The test Kyle got at the hospital was called the five-factor model test, and it grades people on extroversion, agreeableness, conscientiousness, neuroticism, and openness to new ideas. It's used in mental health evaluations. The potential employee's answers to the test are then plugged into an algorithm that decides whether the person should be hired.
So his father was like, whoa, that's illegal under the Americans with Disability Act. So his father and he sort of figured out together that something very fishy had been going on. And his father's actually filed a class action lawsuit against Kroger's for that.
The suit is still pending, but arguments are likely to focus on whether the personality test can be considered a medical exam. If it is, it'd be illegal under the ADA. O'Neill gets that different jobs require people with different personality types, but she says a hiring algorithm is a blunt and unregulated tool that ends up disqualifying big categories of people, which makes it a classic weapon of mass destruction.
The problem is that these personality tests are not carefully designed for each business, but rather what happens is that these companies just sell the same personality test to all the businesses that will buy them.
O'Neill also says it's important to measure the broad effects of these algorithms and to understand who they most impact.
Everyone should start measuring it. And what I mean by that, it is relatively simple. And this might not be a complete start, but it's a pretty good first step, which is measure for whom this fails.
Meaning which populations are most negatively impacted by the results of these algorithms.
And what is the harm that befalls those people for whom it fails? And how are the failures distributed across the population? So if you see a hiring algorithm fail much more often for women than for men, that's a problem. Especially if the failure is they don't get hired when they should get hired. I really do think that a study, a close examination of the distribution of failures and the harms of those failures would really, really be a good start.
"99% Invisible" is Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Katie Mingle, Sharif Youssef, Avery Truffleman, Emmett Fitzgerald, Taryn Mazza, Sean Rial, and me, Roman Mars. Edited for radio by Vika Aronson. We are a project of 91.7 KALW and Radiotopia. Find out more at 99pi.org.